With the projected retirements, or at least those eligible within government who are eligible to retire, there's a need in all levels. And if you look at some of the needs, particularly as a result of the Recovery Act, it's even more important that you've got people who know what they're doing in positions. And oftentimes that means that, frankly, it's not somebody at an entry level. You need to dig a little deeper into the talent pool and find folks who are experienced. So, GAO actually had just completed a report that looked at some best practices across government in terms of what's working well, but also looked at a couple of agencies and said this is what's not working well as well. And as a result of that, GAO has issued their report, but also Senator Cole, who's the chairman of the Senate Aging Committee, has also introduced and will be introducing some legislation to help look at some of those issues.
Now that it's making its way through Capitol Hill, it sounds like this is something that's really getting some traction. I know that the partnership has been out in front on this to take that experience and to take that institutional knowledge and apply it to federal service. But now it looks like others are catching on.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right, Amy. Is the partnership did launch a program or an initiative almost a year ago now that said to federal agencies, we need to look at a broader range of talent and look at bringing experienced folks into government as well. Certainly, you know, we need to continue to develop those folks who are in government so that they can take over those roles of leadership and can help to drive the direction that we're going. But not all of those positions can be filled simply by doing that. So you do need to look externally.
What are some of the challenges with bringing sort of a more experienced worker into government at that sort of point in their career?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of the challenges or barriers that we've seen, both from the government's eyes, but also from the individual side is, you know, again, we've talked about this with entry-level or college-age talent is the perception of government. That same perception, usually negative perception, is at play with more experienced workers as well. So we need to make sure, again, Chris, to the point that you've made continually when we've talked, it's really about the mission and the opportunity to make a difference. That's actually, they want to make sure that they have meaningful, challenging work. So one, it's making that. Two is, experienced talent is actually used to having a little bit more flexibility in their work as well. And it's interesting because government was really on the leading edge of creating a lot of workplace flexibilities initially, looking at things like compressed work schedules, looking at things like telecommuting. And then you kind of hit this point where, frankly, the private sector has kind of accelerated and probably does more of that now than government does on a consistent basis. So, you know, that's an internal issue that government has to cope with a little bit and be perceived in a much better light. And again, some of the legislation that is or has been introduced this week includes a greater look at flexibility. So one of the bills that Senator Cole and Senator Durbin from Illinois have introduced is the Older Worker Opportunity Act, which actually seeks greater workplace flexibilities, and in fact, particularly for more experienced older workers, and provide some tax incentives for organizations to actually provide those flexibilities as well.
We talked earlier in the week about this topic with the Government Accountability Office, and they say one of the things that they found is that about 40% of federal workers who have been eligible to retire over the past 5 years are putting off that retirement, which, of course, buys some time for the agencies to figure out how to fill those seats when they do retire. Are you finding that, too, that people are sort of holding off on retiring right now?
Well, you know, certainly with the economic condition that's going on, and any of us with 401ks or any type of, you know, savings that we're trying to hold on to, you know, have realized that, wow, you know, what we had a year ago, we no longer have. So I think absolutely again, Amy, I think the point is clear, though. At some point, it's inevitable that people are actually going to retire. So how do we prepare, whether or not that's actually happening right now or not, how do we actually prepare for it? And again, I think a lot of the conversation around our Fed Experience program and, again, some of the issues that are highlighted in the GAO report really get to, you know, yes, you can do some of this in the immediacy, but it also leads to long-term growth in this area, too.
And we talked about it with GAO and said that this is an opportunity here because you have a little bit of window. But as you said, these people are going to be retiring, and you're going to have to think about this in a different way, both in terms of attracting younger people and how you deal with them, but also how do you bring people who are maybe looking at this in terms of a second career.
Absolutely. And Chris, I think once again, you were dead on with your assessment, is that you have to think about this in terms of what brings young talent in, new, fresh talent, but also experienced talent. And interestingly enough, I think a lot of the partnerships research and others indicates that a lot, particularly when you look at workplace flexibilities isn't simply an experience issue.
Right.
So if you look at either end of the career spectrum, folks are looking for workplace flexibility.
Right.
They're looking for new innovative ways. The workplace of today is not the workplace that it was 20 years ago.